Hi, everybody. This is The Simpsons Show. I am Robbie with my co-host, Matt, and we are here to talk about The Simpsons from the beginning. Matt, how are you on this fine evening?
I'm great. Now I hate you. Now I like you, and now I hate you again.
Love is the right word, Matt. You don't love me. I love you.
Well, you know, I suppose I could, but right now I just want to be friends.
I don't. I'm disappointed. Hey guys out there, we are brought to you by our supporters on Patreon, patreon.com/TheSimpsonsShow. For only $2 a month, you can see all of our bonus content, including new episode reviews, weekly articles by me, and our newly released video of us meeting Moon Waffles.
Watch us try to stay alive and not vomit.
I don't know. I think most of the comments were like, those would be much better without the butter. I'm like, I agree. I concur with that. That's not the butter is the bad part for the most. Yeah, that was the. Caramel waffles sounds delicious, and that part wasn't bad. A lot of butter though. And that was not so good.
Yeah, no.
But we have some people to thank, Matt.
Do we?
We do. A couple. Two people. Two people to thank this week. First, we have Joshua Fraser. Thank you, Joshua.
Thanks, Josh.
And someone named Melissa Humbarger. I don't know who that is.
I don't either. It sounds vaguely familiar.
Yeah, I know. It's a mystery who that person is, but thank you, Melissa.
Oh. She doesn't get a thanks from me.
Matt doesn't.
If she uses the wrong last name, I mean, come on.
We'll leave that a mystery. Let the listeners try and figure that one out. On to this. Well, actually, before jump the gun a little bit. If you like the show, rate, review, subscribe to us on iTunes or wherever you listen to us. Really helps us out. Gets us up in those iTunes podcast algorithms. Don't know how they work. Really, but it helps people find us, and I always like that. Or obviously just recommend us to your friends. We really appreciate it. This week's episode is Homer Loves Flanders, episode 1, F14, originally aired March 17th, 1994, written by David Richardson, his only writing credit for The Simpsons.
Man, he really should have come back. This is a pretty good episode.
Directed by Wes Archer, finished 43rd in the ratings. Nielsen rating of 10.9, third highest rated show on Fox this week, following Beverly Hills 90210 and Melrose Place.
It's all you damn teenagers is what it is, and your Melrose Place and your 902 and 5612 and
it's not bad, Matt. As the years go on, this number is only gonna go lower. I hope you realize that for the most part.
I know. They don't, it's so sad.
For the early years they were always on top, but as the years go on, other shows end up going higher. Although I know this past week's episode, Girl Code was number one in the ratings.
Well, makes sense.
The chalkboard gag. I am not.
Have you seen what's on Fox these days? Sorry.
No, I haven't. Chalkboard gag. I am not delightfully saucy.
I find that hard to believe. Bart seems perfectly delightfully saucy.
Maybe not to his teachers. The couch gag. Family splits in half to sit on two couches.
Yay.
Yeah, it's fine. The episode begins with some news from Kent Brockman.
Tonight on Eye on Springfield. Just miles from your doorstep, hundreds of men are given weapons and trained to kill. The government calls it the Army. But a more alarmist name would be the Killbot Factory. But first, Springfield has come down with a fever. Football fever, brought on by the biggest game of the year. The pigskin classic between the Shelbyville Sharks and our own Springfield Adams. If you have the fever, there's only one cure. Take two tickets and see the game Sunday morning.
Warning, tickets should not be taken internally.
See, because of me, now they have a warning.
Oh, Homer.
And Homer obviously wants to go to the Springfield Shelbyville game. It's a big rivalry. Bart quickly sells Homer coupons to a wig shop.
Yes, I believe it's a free wig with purchase of large wig, which I didn't know wigs came in sizes, but it makes sense, I guess.
People have different sized heads. And Homer decides to get hit. He's second in line when the tickets go on sale.
Only second, unfortunately.
And he missed 8 days of work to do that. But apparently the dude in front of him is a scalper and buys all 30,000 tickets. And this is the math I was doing, Matt. Because the lady asked for $950,000, which he only has 10. Mm-hmm. which she accepts. That means about $31 for a ticket.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, a football ticket, the pro football, basically for $31 is that the.
Well, this is back in the 90s, so things were cheaper then.
That's true, but I think different tickets would cost different amounts of money. But whatever. Homer now would have it be resort to scalping to get tickets. Doesn't have the money because he missed work, I guess. And so he is desperate. He hears on the radio that they're giving away tickets. He misses out. And at the same time hearing that Flanders won the radio contest.
And now he's out four tires, too. So yeah. He's really in the red on this.
It drives right over those the exit spikes. I don't know if they have a tire spikes, whatever the proper name is. But he still wants to go, doesn't know what to do. He's kind of lamenting this on the couch with Bart and Lisa.
Why am I such a loser? Why?
Well, your father was a loser, and his father. It's genetic, man. Don't!
What's so special about this game, anyway? It's just another chapter in the pointless rivalry between Springfield and Shelbyville. They built a mini mall, so we built a bigger mini mall. They made the world's largest pizza, so we burned down their city hall.
Yeah, they swore they'd get us back by spiking our water supply, but they didn't have the guts.
And that quickly segues into a shot of Marge drinking water and hallucinating.
Well, it's a good acid trip, you know.
And that was almost cut from the episode. The censors,
oh, I'm sure,
drug use, that... not allowed, but they argued that, well, she didn't willingly take the drugs, so it's okay.
It's more of a cautionary tale. Yeah, so it's, yeah, you could put a little dare label in the corner and be like, there you go.
And is this the first time we've really seen like the mean-spirited Shelbyville versus Springfield stuff?
I think so. Up to this point, we've really only seen Shelbyville as, oh, that town next door we're kind of rivals with. This is the point where they're like, holy crap, these people really hate each other.
Yeah. I mean, we've seen, I know, like, the power plants have, you know, the obviously in Homer at the Bat, you know, the two power plants are rivals. And I think they've alluded to different things over the years, just like, oh, yeah, Shelbyville. But this is the first time I think they've gotten into, like, oh, yeah, it's really bad. It's like Hatfield and McCoy type stuff. Homer decides to ask God for help.
God, if you really are God, you'll get me tickets to that game.
Idly ho, neighbor. Want to go to the game with me? I got two tickets.
Why do you mock me, oh Lord?
Homer, that's not God. That's just a waffle that Bart tossed up there.
Ooh, I know I shouldn't eat thee, but... sacrilegious.
If there is a God, I hope he or she or it is a waffle. I want my God to be delicious.
Waffle God. As long as it's not a moon waffle God.
Yeah. I want waffleism. Just... We will kill the heretics who enjoy that much butter on their waffles.
The heretics. You mean heretics?
The heretics, yes.
Okay. But Homer decides in the middle of the night to beat Flanders over the head with a pipe and steal his tickets. Marge stops him, thankfully, and Homer decides just to accept Flanders' offer to go with him, a very generous offer, honestly, and that's kind of, I mean, that's what kind of what this episode becomes, is, and something I kind of always knew, like, oh yeah, of course, it's, Homer is when he's a friend, it's worse than when he's an enemy.
Exactly.
And... I don't know, rewatching it and, like, seeing it in a different, like, just with age and time, I'm way higher on this episode than I used to be. Flanders takes Homer to the game. They have great seats right up front. It's pretty excellent.
I would hope so. If you win tickets from a contest like that, are they usually crappy seats or do they give you pretty decent seats?
It's usually good seats because they're usually... from the people like in charge. It's usually from it's from the team, or, you know, it's a promotion. They're trying, you know, the radio station will pay for the best seats or receive the best seats and then pass them on regardless.
Cool.
Flanders is really great. He buys Homer a ton of snacks, including that nacho hat, which that's a good idea for a future video. Maybe, Matt, we make nacho hats.
That would be difficult, but it'd be awesome to try.
I know. I'm curious if it is at all possible in a home. Do you need, like, a real fryer to do that?
According to Google Images, there are quite a few people who have made their own. So,
oh, okay. Yeah. Well, it's possible then. So Springfield, Shelbyville, tight game. Springfield wins the final seconds thanks to Stan, the boy, Taylor. We get a lot of football gags in this little sequence. They're all, you know, they're fun. We get Homer being an absolute pig with a giant pile of garbage right in front of him on the field. The game's over. Springfield wins. Oh, wait.
Homer gets smacked in the head with a keg.
Yeah, he does. Oh, I forgot this bit. Excuse me, guys, but I definitely want to play it. This is a little gag as they're entering the stadium. Homer wanting to hide Flanders from both Lenny and Carl.
Duck! I can't let the boy see me with you.
What?
Hi.
Hey, look, Homer's got one of those robot cars.
One of those American robot cars.
I could not.
We're getting better. It only took an extra like decade and a half, but we're almost to the point where they don't do that anymore.
Robot cars are better than people at this point. So Homer is yelling, frankly, at the football players as they leave to try and get an autograph, insulting them at the end. But Stan, the boy Taylor, turns around to see both Homer and Ned, who he actually knows. Ned is, helped convert Stan to Christianity or to being a practicing Christian, I guess. And Stan credits Ned for saving him. So Ned receives the game ball, which then he gives to Homer, which Homer is very appreciative of, even going so far as to name it Stitch Face, his fourth child.
It's true. It'll become a very important addition to future episodes.
Yeah, I remember that Stitch Face episode in season 12. That was a great one.
That's true. It really was the highlight of season 12. Not that it had much competition.
I mean, well, there's still so much character development left for Stitch Face. I mean, you know, you've done a lot of years with the core family members. When you add someone new, obviously, you know, there's more room for growth.
That fight you had with Roy, that was the best.
Well, I mean, they kind of occupy the same kind of space within the family.
But nobody liked Roy, and everyone loves Stitch Face.
Well, that's, so Roy would be jealous, and I think we shouldn't go on any further, Matt, because we can just write an episode about this. But now Homer is proud. He's proud of having Flanders as a friend, even going so far as not making Ned hide in the car on the way out.
Ooh, I guess it's time for me to duck again.
No! I want everyone to know that this is Ned Flanders, my friend!
What did he say?
I don't know, something about being gay.
Oh, it's great.
Oh, Lenny and Carl.
But with that, we go to commercial.
And when we come back, we see that Homer is, throwing down his wedding photo to put up Stitch Face, and he has to explain to the family why he and Flanders are now friends.
Homer, that's our wedding photo.
Marge, quit living in the past.
Hey, Lee Ho, window buddy. Just wondering if you'd like to come over and give the new pool table a whirl.
I'll be there. And this time, you can be the nacho man.
Dad and Ned Flanders friends? What's next? A's on Bart's report card?
poor Bart. Always the butt of the jokes. But
not always, Matt. He's not always the butt of the jokes.
Always.
In our last episode, he wrote on the back of his father's skull, insert brain here.
Okay, so Simpson males, almost always the butt of the jokes.
That's actually, yeah. I mean, Lisa also gets her fair share.
I feel like it's a 10%, 10 or a 20%, 40-40, or a 10-10, 40-40 kind of split.
I don't know.
Each of the girls gets 10%.
Well, now we're going to have to do a second podcast going back through the entire show again, just breaking down joke layout.
And it'll be all numbers.
Yeah, and all it's total statistics, no humor.
Exactly. All the 538 guys will love us. Anyway, we can see that the family is a little weirded out by Homer's friendship with Flanders. But Homer goes over to Ned's and proceeds to break his brand new pool table because he's, you know, incredibly heavy and breaks it by trying to lay across it, which Homer's only 239 pounds.
It
so
should not do that to a good pool table. That would have to be a really crappy pool table.
That'd have to be like a pool table that's on top of a card table kind of thing.
Or you got it at Walmart, maybe, and you put it together yourself.
It's like, I've been like 280 pounds and been on a pool table that size and had no problems whatsoever. So no, I think we can safely say.
They're rather sturdy. I think frankly, Flanders is just skimping on his pool table.
That's true.
Purchases.
Well, you know, as a pharmacist, he has the left arm at this point, so... You know, maybe the left arm has already gone downhill, and he's living that Chuck Garabedian lifestyle. Anyway, that's just foreshadowing for the future. We then see Homer interact a little bit with the Flanders family, where he finds out that they've got 200-something channels, which today is laughable. Back then was a lot. And they're all locked out for poor Rod and Todd. They don't want them to be, corrupted by television.
Yeah, exactly.
Maude is, of course, her usual judgy self. But Homer takes it all in his stride. He even takes he even takes Flanders to visit his family.
I'd like to introduce Ned Flanders, my best friend.
Hey, I don't want no people in here with their evils of alcohol rap.
Wait a second. You're the man at the hospital who reads to sick children.
And truly, she was my friend, Flicka.
No!
If this gets out, the next words you say will be muffled by your own butt.
I love Moe's threat. That's a good threat.
It's nice little character stuff from Moe. I think by this point, we all know Moe is like this ugly, ugly person. So having those little touches where he's, you know, not just a monster, it gives him a little bit of a more rounder.
Triples. His choice of books in this this episode is very telling.
What he has, Little Women and
My Friend Flicka, I believe.
Okay, yeah.
So his taste tends towards books for little girls, which makes sense in the first bit since he's reading to a little girl. But at the homeless shelter, when he's reading to homeless people, he's reading Little Women.
I don't know. Little Women, I think it's very readable. I think it's a classic that has a very, it's, you know, it's heartwarming and it hits all the right notes when you're trying to. I don't think you could read like an action adventure book or a heavy sci-fi book to a bunch of homeless people. I think
that is probably true.
It's better going with Louisa May Alcott. It's fine.
Or, you know, the Da Vinci Code, something equally simple that, you know, third graders could understand.
I don't think Da Vinci Code was out in 1994, Matt, but.
Aw, nerds. Anyway, we see Flanders and Homer's relationship, it expands a little bit to the point where Flanders is a little tired and has to pray for the strength to endure Homer's friendship. We see Flanders doing his charity work, and Homer, you know, comes along to cheer him up, and they mistake Homer as a homeless person and give him some new clothes and a bath because, you know, it's Homer. He smells bad.
He smells. And that suit they give him.
That is
fantastic.
A Google special right there.
Pretty fantastic. Checkered border. All plaid. Plaid, yeah. Yellow and red. Yeah, it's nice looking. I'm jealous.
Well, when it comes time to for our season 6 challenge, we'll keep that in mind.
We'll see.
Yeah. But Homer is exasperated with how slow Ned is feeding the homeless, so he gets in there and starts just slinging the food left and right and catches the attention of a newspaper photographer who puts Homer's picture in the paper, and he tries to where Homer gets lots of credit for his work with the homeless, even though he was really just trying to get Flanders to leave. So, yeah, you know.
And I believe that's the same reporter we see take the picture of Blinky.
Yes, I believe it is. Yeah. He's the reporter who's on the road a whole lot.
Yeah, the reporter that makes no sense in the Simpsons world, but exists anyway.
Yeah, he's from the 50s, so, you know, he was stuck in the ice, I guess, and they thawed him out, and he just tried to make his way
in
the world.
Man at a time? Is that what we're pitching for this guy's backstory?
Yes, a journalist from the 50s plopped into today. I'm pretty sure you could write a comic book about that with no problem.
I'm trying to think if they've done anything like that.
Well, while you think, I'll keep going.
Okay, go ahead.
We then see the Simpsons trying to get... basically Homer to give up on his relationship with Flanders because, you know, while they're happy he's not actively hating Flanders, having him spend that much time with Ned is a little weird.
Don't worry, Bart. It seems like every week something odd happens to the Simpsons. My advice is to ride it out, make an occasional smart aleck quip, and by next week we'll be back to where we started from, ready for another wacky adventure.
Ay, caramba! That's the spirit.
A little bit of a meta there for the show.
I really like it. I like those touches. You see it here and at the very end, and mm-hmm. Every time, like, you too much and it gets a little tiresome, but just a little bit, the nod and wink towards the camera, I really enjoy. Especially in episodes.
True. It's definitely not Deadpool levels.
No, in episodes like this, where it's, you know, like, because it would make sense. Like, they would go, why? What's happening? Like, why is Homer suddenly Flanders' friend? Like,
seriously, he's breaking the formula, man.
Yeah, exactly. But it's nice.
But of course, Homer is not at all convinced by their arguments and decides that the two families should go on vacation together. So they go to the lake and they take Flanders' boat and they listen to Homer's Rappin' Ronnie Reagan tape, which is just, it's pretty much the worst thing ever.
I had forgotten that there's two songs in this that I completely forgot about, which is the Two Tickets to Paradise that it was played on the radio earlier. I completely forgot about that. And then this Reagan thing, I completely forgot about.
You blocked it from your memories?
I guess
it's so awful.
Like, I don't remember it at all.
I'm
strange.
Pretty sure it was a real thing. That's why they put it in here, but still.
No, back in the day before I think music was so kind of omnipresent to everywhere, like you had to buy music. I think that was parody songs. There was no, there's many songs like this, I'm sure, about with Obama on YouTube.
Oh yeah.
I can actually think of one right off the top of my head. But
now we auto-tune. We don't fake rap.
No. Well, it is. It's actually Obama rapping to Drake's Back to Back.
Interesting.
It's actually really, it's funny. If you like Obama, it's funny. I'm fairly certain you don't like Obama, you will not enjoy it. And Drake, I think you have to like Drake as well. But I think most people like Drake.
That's asking a lot, Robbie. Come on now.
Oh, and he's a tough and tumble kid from Degrassi High.
Degrassi High. Oh, God. All right. If we're done talking
what
about
what happens at the party? What happens at their little vacation together? Their little trip, Matt? Tell me.
Well, Homer is not paying attention and has Ned drop the boat on the concrete, which how you drop a boat from inside the car, I'm not quite sure. Usually you have to, you know, float it off because it's so heavy, but Ned manages to hurt the boat because Homer's not paying attention. Homer then proceeds to lose Rod and Todd while they're water skiing. He just, you know, it's like, oh yeah, they're fine back there when they're long gone. Lisa and Marge try to get along with Maude by giving her some fruit punch they made from the Fruit Punch Advisory Board, which I guarantee is a real thing. There's an advisory board for everything.
And the fact that it would be full of sugar, not surprising.
That's true.
Any advisory board would
make fruit punch look good.
Yeah, I'm fairly certain that they just released new dietary guidelines like yesterday, I think, at the time of this recording. Yeah. And it's, you know, we're learning a lot about science as we learn, I guess.
And it turns out that most juices, which have a whole bunch of added sugar, are no better than soda.
Yeah, that's pretty true.
Take that, my friend's parents from middle school. Yeah.
Eat the fruit.
Yes, eat the fruit. Or if you're going to drink juice, might as well just have soda. It's better.
Depends on your... I mean, if it's breakfast, I might want orange juice, man.
Nah.
Once in a while. Just OJ, just mix it up a little bit. Variety is the spice of life.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, Bart, who I might have heard this, might have not, proceeds to then give Rod and Todd a whole bunch of sugar, which turns them into, you know, regular kids. So apparently that's all that stands between well-behaved kids and, you know, little monsters. It's sugar.
Well, I don't know. That's not entirely fair either. Sugar does not necessarily make you go crazy. It would make them hungry.
Unless you've never had it before.
Yeah, I'm sure if you've never had it before, yes, it would probably, you know, the weird effects, but it does not give you extra energy.
No,
it burns fast, but it's not, you know, if you gave them rice, they'd also have energy. It's not.
That's true.
It's just calories.
That's true.
I'm hitting them hard with the food science today, Matt.
Yeah, this is a very food science heavy episode, apparently.
Wait
till we get to the focus in episode where we learn all about ADD drugs. Anyway.
I don't know. The fact I wanted to mention this a second ago. Homer has no ill intentions in this episode at all.
Well, he is going to bash Ned's head in with a pipe, but beyond that.
I mean, but after they've actually become friends, after the end of Act 1, when he announces they are friends, he has only have good intentions.
So what you're saying is Frank Grimes got off easy. If he had been Homer's friend, it would have been a lot worse off for him.
No, but I mean, that's Homer's. It's the same. You're right. You are entirely correct that Homer's behavior in both of those in both these episodes is exactly the same. He has only good intentions. He is not trying to be, and you know it, and it kind of turns also in Homer's enemy when he's going after, when he's trying to have Frank Grimes like him. It's the same thing. Like, no matter what he does, it's like he can't do it. Like, it's just him, and that's what I like. I really like this episode, Matt. Continue. What happens?
Well, it's one of those things where you want Homer to not pay attention to you. If Homer's paying attention to you, your life is going to get worse.
It's really great. It's great. I like it a lot.
Well, after Bart gives Rod and Todd sugar and turns them into little monsters, they then proceed to have a food fight between both families over the food. And then this leads to Todd getting zesty Italian in his eye. So the Flanders family starts to head back, and Homer takes this opportunity for one last lap around the lake with the boat. But that doesn't go very well for anybody.
Oh, Lord, please give me the strength to endure Homer Simpson's friendship.
Your car.
Boy, what are the odds, huh?
So, as you heard, that was Homer somehow launching the boat into the air and onto Flanders' car.
Homer found a way.
Quite the feat.
He found a way, and that's again. He's only trying to have a good time. He's not trying to be, you know, mean or evil. He's just having a good time. And in that food fight, I like that the whole family of the Simpsons participate.
Oh yeah, even Lisa and Marge, they're getting on it.
Yeah, that is always great. It really helped. The comparing and contrasting these two families is a great thing.
Well, we still have Maude anyway.
Yeah, we do. We do. Yeah.
At that point, Ned is distraught at best, and he goes home and he has quite the dream.
There's Homer. There's Homer, too. That's also Homer. That's Homer!
What's the matter, Ned?
I think I hate Homer Simpson.
Marge, I think I hate Ted Koppel. No, wait. I find him informative and witty. Night.
I captured the entire part of that clip just because I really appreciate the sound design of him, you know, walking up the echoey staircase while whistling. You hear the whistle echo and his footsteps back and forth and him putting the gun together. I also rather enjoyed the joke with the postman pulling out his semi-automatic weapon and firing back.
That entire, are you familiar with the real life events that is based on?
Yes. What was that guy's name?
Charles Whitman.
Whitman, that's what it was.
Charles Whitman, they made a movie based on it called The Deadly Tower that I did not know existed until I looked all this stuff up, with Kurt Russell playing the part of the crazy killer guy. So I kind of want to watch that now. That came out in, let's see, 1975 television movie. I looked into that Charles Whitman guy. That whole story is terrifying.
Well, it's terrifying and sad because, I mean, it was a brain tumor that made him go crazy.
It wasn't necessarily only a brain tumor, Matt.
He had other problems
as well, namely lots of abuse from his father and kind of the failure of the... He literally went to a psychiatrist and told them, you know, sometimes I fantasize about going up to the tower and shooting people, and they didn't do anything. So that's great.
They're like, haha, that's crazy.
He's like, yeah, that. They're like, yeah, that's bad. But then they never, you know, you might want to follow up in some way. I don't know.
I might want to, you know, scan his brain. It's a lot easier to do that now than it was then. They would have just cut out part of the brain.
This is 1966. Charles Whitman, the University of Texas, climbed a tower and shot a bunch of people. Killed 14 people. And then this is after killing both his wife and mother the day before or earlier in the day. It's unclear, honestly. It's also mentioned in the movie Full Metal Jacket in the first half, in the boot camp sequence. Their drill sergeant mentions Charles Whitman and the fact that he was such an accurate marksman, which he was.
Yep.
Yeah. Let's move on from the murder. How about that?
Yeah, let's do that.
Moving into Act 3, Ned is after the events of the picnic, or, you know, their little trip, whatever you want to call it, he's honestly actively trying to avoid Homer. And this goes even so far as to lying.
Hey, what's up for today, Nettie?
Homer, we're going to visit the boy's grandmother. Family only, you know?
Right, no reporters.
No, I mean just the Flanders family.
Oh, okay.
Oh, boy, Grandma!
We're not going anywhere.
But you said...
Sometimes to keep from hurting someone's feelings, we have to say things that aren't exactly...
Lies made baby Jesus cry.
And they make adult Jesus froth with rage.
Yeah, exactly. It's you know, it's the yin and the yang of the Jesus. there's multiple references to Terminator 2 in this scene. First we see, and which just became a meme, the Homer in and out of the bushes meme. Like, I saw it a whole bunch, like, maybe last month. I think it's already passed out of the zeitgeist, but it was there
it
for...
It comes and goes.
Yeah, like it'll, most memes. It'll come back, probably. But then they have a chase sequence where Flanders is trying to get away from Homer with his family, and Homer is chasing after him with golf clubs, because he wants to go golfing with Ned, of course. And he does... It's the whole... chase sequence from Terminator 2 where T-1000 is trying to, you know, latch onto the car and they shake him off and all that. I've always really liked it. I think those two stand out, as well as the case of the, I believe it was in the, oh, it was a deleted scene with that they showed in, I believe in the what's it? Why can't think of it? 100.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Spectacular 100. What number was that? 140, 187. What episode was that? What's the number? Why can't I think of the number? The
138th episode spectacular.
138th episode spectacular with the bot, the robot version of
Richard Simmons,
which also has a T2 reference, which I really enjoy. But in his hurry to get away from Homer in their Geo Metro? Is that what he calls it?
I believe it. He calls it a Geo, but it's pretty obviously a Geo Metro.
Yeah, they were not good cars.
Most teenagers got them when their parents realized that.
Flanders is pulled over by Wiggum, and then the entire church group in a bus drives right by.
I told you, officer, I'm not hepped up on goofballs.
Yeah, right.
Ned Flanders, I never would have imagined.
Hi, it's a kite, everybody. Goofballs. Yeah, where's your Messiah now, Flanders? Yeah.
Where's your Messiah now, Flanders?
Yeah, it's the Edward G. Robinson's was in the Ten Commandments, so that was a clear reference to that. He braves it and goes to church, is about to, and he's very hesitant about this. And this is, I think, honestly, the first true, like, Flanders character episode. I don't think he's been anything but kind of a plot device for the most part in other episodes.
Yeah.
Something for Homer to bounce off of. I think in this case, in this episode, you know, we saw that with him, you know, being feeling ashamed by his kids, you know, having to lie to lie in front of Rod and Todd to you know, to be pulled over and struggling going to church, where we know Ned, you know, he's loves church. He likes, you know, he likes his relationship with the church, and seeing him not want to go in there until Homer calls, says that he has some kick-ass seats in the front row,
which is important at church.
Yeah, church, yeah, it's where you sit, very, very important. I guess Reverend Lovejoy is about to go into a sermon about
what Ned did,
which, that's terrible. You should not be targeting members of your congregation, regardless of what they did, but he praises Homer first for his charity work, which this is the third time Homer has received compliments, first from the newspaper, then from Dr. Hibbert, and then again from Reverend Lovejoy here. They have a prayer? Is that what Lovejoy starts off with, a prayer, and they all bow their heads?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, and Flanders Keys on a noise Homer is making.
Stop it! Breathe through your damn mouth!
Oh.
Oh, can't you see this man isn't a hero? He's annoying. He's very, very annoying.
Well, Ned Flanders is just jealous.
Oh, the guy's hepped up on goofballs.
Let's sacrifice him to our god! Come on, we did it all the time in the 30s.
And you, that is written in the notes, shades of Frank Grimes, and that is very true, and also shades of Hurricane Nettie. In both, you know, that's a lot more clear because it's angry Flanders, which you rarely get. Again, the Frank Grimes stuff is, they're really good comparisons there because having to deal with Homer Simpson and how he works in this world makes you upset.
And yes, so everything works out for Homer and nothing works out for anybody else.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, and I think Flanders has been fine, but now that he's like, so directly connected to Homer as friends, he sees it a lot more clearly, and now that things are starting to go bad for him. And I really also want to compare this a lot to the episode that we really didn't like when Flanders failed, because I like that we get flaws from Flanders in this. Like, he was kind of a plot device in that episode, showing just Homer being a jerk and then not being a jerk at the end. And this episode we see, I think it's more interesting that Homer ruins everything by being nice, and Flanders is a real person. You know, he has some depth in this one.
Yes, absolutely. That's one of the best things. Those two episodes are a great contrast, and normally I tip this at the end, but if you're going to bring it up now,
sure.
It's funny how in that episode you have Homer being a jerk and Flanders being basically just a stand-up person. This one you have Flanders being a regular person and Homer being so nice. You get the nice contrast that no matter what happens, if Homer's paying attention to you, your life will suck, and you get how things actually tend to go better for Flanders when he acts like a normal person rather than a stand-in for like the perfect neighbor. It's like being a real person is better in the real world than being, you know, a stereotype.
And we weird see like that. And we see him being, he is obvious, like he's being, he's great. Like he's a good person. He offers Homer tickets. He buys him a bunch of snacks. He gives him the game ball. You know, he volunteers. We see him be more down. It's not like a switch that gets flipped when he goes crazy. Like, you understand why he's so angry at the end of the episode. And the crowd is about to, you know, I don't know what is necessarily going to happen. I don't think they're going to sacrifice him to their god. But, maybe Lovejoy.
They did it all the time in the 30s.
Yeah, and maybe Lovejoy's going to cast him out. Who knows what's going to happen. But Homer comes to Flanders' defense.
How dare you talk about Ned Flanders like that. He's a wonderful, kind, caring man. Maybe even more so than me. There have been times when I lost patience with him, even lashed out at him. But this man has turned every cheek on his body. If everyone here were like Ned Flanders, there'd be no need for heaven. We'd already be there.
And Lovejoy apologizes. You know, things go back to not quite normal, though, because Flanders is still friends with Homer, and Bart and Lisa kind of question that until we jump cut to kind of the end of the episode.
I don't get it, Lise. You said everything would be back to normal, but Homer and Flanders are still friends.
Yeah, maybe this means the end of our wacky adventures.
Guess what, everyone? My great-uncle Boris died and left us his old country house. There's only one catch. They say it's haunted. But I'm sure we can prove him wrong by spending the weekend there.
Hi, diddly-ho, neighbor.
Get lost, Flanders.
Okily-dokily.
See? I told you. There's nothing to worry about. This place isn't...
Thank goodness for the status quo.
Yeah, return straight back to the status quo. No real reason given to why Homer and Flanders are no longer friends. But I don't think they need to, honestly. And this is a great episode. I'm gonna say great. I agree. I'm turning around on it. I thought it was good before, like my general recollection of it. Hey, it's a good one. This is a great one.
It really is. It's you have had a great comparison with this and When Flanders Failed, because they're actually pretty similar episodes when you put them right up against each other. This shows it's a great demonstration of what Homer is like to be around, whether for good or for ill. And shows that maybe you want Homer to hate you, because then he probably ineffectually tries to do things that would screw up your life and end up screwing up his. Whereas Homer's being nice to you, he inadvertently screws up your life. You get Flanders as a great neighbor who's actually a real person. You get Bart, Lisa, and Marge, which they don't have large parts, but we get to see a little bit of them and they're acting, you know, their normal selves. And you get to see a little bit of the Flanders family, which up until this point we've only seen, you know, a little bit, except for Dead Budding Society. So it's a really good episode.
Yeah, and frankly, it's probably moved up into my top 10 personal favorites. Maybe even higher. I don't know. I really like it a lot. We will rank it at the end of the show. I'm very curious to see where it goes. We'll work it out, I guess. No submissions for my favorite episode. Which I'm not necessarily surprised by, because this is kind of a sleeper. It's not my favorite, but I really like it. Let's move on to our next segment. Oh wait, if you have a favorite episode, email us at simpsonsshowpod@gmail.com, and I will explain why a certain episode is your favorite, and I'll read it on air. Okay, now, time for our next segment. It's time for comments from the newsgroup.
Okay, here we are. alt.nerd.obsessive.
Comments from the newsgroup is where I will comb the old alt.tv.simpsons newsgroup that was formed back in the proto-internet, almost at the right before season 2 started, and just see what's happening in that week or two when this episode came out. A couple interesting things. The normal back and forth of some people really liking this episode, and some people think this season the show fell off a cliff.
Sure, guys, sure.
Obviously,
that makes no sense at all.
I mean, season 5 is one of the worst seasons, right, Matt?
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's it's when the Simpsons started getting really sucky. Yep, that's obvious.
Homer's Barbershop Quartet, Cape Fear, Rosebud.
Yeah, none of those are any good at all.
Those are terrible. Deep Space Homer.
Yep. Awful, awful, awful.
Yeah, terrible episodes. But also one other interesting thing. A person, and this is, you know, you see this on the news group over the years as you, you know, if you start reading it a lot, people pitch episode ideas, like things like, oh, I want to see this. And some guy this during, you know, I think the week after this episode came out, pitched an idea for a Simpsons with a kind of a the prisoner heavy reference, like, you know, using that as a kind of a framework for an episode. Have you ever watched The Prisoner, Matt?
I have not, no. Just the weird Simpsons.
Yeah, exactly. The Prisoner is an excellent, very short-lived, I believe, British. I have this thing called the internet right in front of me. I think it was BBC production. Yeah, British television series. It's kind of a sci-fi mystery. I mean, a more modern reference for it would be Lost. But I think The Prisoner works much simpler because it doesn't try and do as much nearly as Lost did. Prisoner is a great show. If you've never watched it, I would definitely go track it down. Frankly, I'm surprised they did try and reboot it very briefly in their early last decade, the aughts, but it kind of fell on its face. It's really great. And The Simpsons do heavily in the Computer Menace War Red Shoes, I believe is the name of the episode, with Mr. X and all that, where Homer makes his website, ends up going to the island.
One of the worst episodes?
No, I kind of like it. It's, you know, it's I don't know. It has some cheesy stuff in it. I still enjoy it. Maybe because of all the Prisoner references. But, you know, whenever this stuff pops up and they end up using it much later on, I kind of go, with the people, the nerds who write The Simpsons, I really doubt that, you know, they probably never saw this, and it, you know, just those things happen all the time, but I, you know, it's always interesting. But not much else. Normal, you know, lists of references and all that, people complaining and arguing. It's the internet, even back then, was full of it.
That's what people do.
Yeah. I think it's time for our next segment, Matt. It is time for the listener question of the week.
Let's try one more number.
Yellow?
KBBL is gonna give me something stupid.
Well, hot dog, we have a wiener.
Yellow?
Our listener question for this week is, what is your favorite Homer quote? Unsurprisingly, so many entries, maybe our most popular by, I would say it's probably our most popular. I included extras this week and still could not even probably get a third of all the answers. And not many repeats either, which I really like. I love it when there's so much, you know, disparate answers. And honestly, Homer has had so many great quotes over the years. It's not that surprising either. First, we have Anthony at Masseri Anthony. Let us celebrate this occasion by the pouring of chocolate into milk. John at Chopplestar311. Dear Lord, protect this Rocket House and all those who dwell within the Rocket House. Hashtag my favorite episode. No, that's one of Matt's favorites. Jumbo at Jumbo Canuck. Feeling stupid? I know I am. Isaac at Isaac is a gooden. The slim, lazy Homer you knew is dead. Now I'm a big, fat dynamo. And where's that cake? That's great.
There's no cake.
Poppy at Exlo Monster X. I'm shaving my shoulders, getting it all shaved off. Ken, just I love the range. The range of things that, you know, the quotes encompass. Brandon B at Excuse You 77. You tried your best and you failed miserably. The lesson is never try. Lauren at Italia Princess. Oh, Lisa and your stories. Bart's a vampire. Beers kills brain cells. Now let's go back to that building thingy. Where are beds and TV is? I'm trying to deliver them in the same cadence. I cannot replicate the voice, but I can at least try and do the rhythm. On Facebook, we have Dan. Sure, I might offend a few of the blue noses with my cocky stride and musky odors. Oh, I'll never be the darling of the so-called city fathers who cluck their tongues, stroke their beards, and talk about what's to be done with this Homer Simpson. And Chris, who included two quotes, but I include them both because they're both Max Power. Nobody snuggles with Max Power, Marge. You strap yourself in and feel the G's. And Max Power.
Like, and feel the G's.
Sorry. Max Power. He's the man in the name you want to touch, but you mustn't touch. His name sounds good in your ear, but when you say it, you mustn't fear, because his name can be said by anyone. I can't do that. It's like a almost like a Bond song.
It is. I'm pretty sure that's the idea behind it. And, yeah. It sounds about as good as the lyrics that come over the radio these days.
We have from Robbie. I've never been a religious man, but if you're up there, please save me, Superman. kills me every time. Love how Homer seems to think he lives in the DC universe. And that's, again, a nice little subversion right there in just that little short quote. Andy, Lisa, if you don't like your job, you don't strike. You just go in every day and do it really half-assed. That's the American way. Yeah, that's true. Elliot?
That's true.
Yeah, Mo, that team sure sucked last night. They just plain sucked. I've seen teams suck before. They were the suckiest bunch of sucks who ever sucked. John, Bart, with $10,000, we'd be millionaires. We could buy all kinds of useful things. Like love.
That's true. If there's one thing money can buy, it's love.
It is certainly love. From Melissa, my pockets hurt. And finally, Zach, to alcohol, the cause of and solution to all of life's problems, which is kind of one of all-time Simpsons quotes, I think.
Yeah.
It's pretty great. Matt, what is your answer?
Well, I have to be honest. The alcohol one was a very close second, but I think I'm actually going to go with Homer's Mindy song that eventually turns into Andy that he sings in the mirror when Lisa catches him. That is just the most random thing where Homer taking a very popular song and just completely destroying it. It's one of my favorite things for Homer to do, really.
My answer? I had to think about it nice and hard, and there's some really great answers here that I thought, well, I really like them. My answer is from Homer the Heretic. Everyone is stupid except me.
Oh, that's a good one.
I've tried to think of something that really nails Homer in like one line, and it, you know, I think that's a really one of the great, you know, Homer, if anything, not humble.
No, not a that humble is man. Not something Homer ever has been.
No. Next week's question is, what is your favorite Flanders moment?
Oh, that's going to be a good one.
That's good. We've done the favorite Flanders episode, but this is a little bit more broad. Hopefully we get a little bit more broader selection of answers. I will post this question on our social media, facebook.com/TheSimpsonsShowPod, Twitter @ SimpsonsShowPod. And again, you can email us at SimpsonsShowPod@gmail.com. Reach out to us any of those places. Join us, join, follow, favorite, I don't, you know, whatever term the social media platform wants you to use. But you know, I try and repost Simpsons stuff. We get tons of great stuff from, you fellow listeners. It's really great. I always enjoy participation from week to week. our next segment, Matt. Once again, it is time for the No Google Trivia Challenge.
No!
I am too smart! I am too smart! S-M-R-T! I mean S-M-A-R-R-T!
The No Google Trivia Challenge is where Matt and I will each bring three trivia questions, one easy, one medium, one hard, and try and stump the other. We have a wager for this season, season 5. Whoever loses at the end of this season will have to drink something we're called a milkshake. And a new ingredient has been suggested to us by Rob, who has the some extra trivia questions this week for you as well, Matt. And he is right. He said a classic item. I can't believe we overlooked, but a Guatemalan insanity pepper.
Oh, God. Can we even get one of those?
I don't think they actually exist, but a suitably comparable, maybe a ghost chili. I think those are the hottest ones.
I'm going to suggest something, too, that my wife and I were talking about is some gummy Venus de Milo's, but a ghost pepper. Yeah, see, I'm trying to make it slightly more palatable. You guys are trying to kill us.
No,
thanks.
I just want it to be a good representation of all Simpsons food items. And I don't want to add too much sweetness. It should not taste good. Even if I end up drinking it, I don't want it to taste good. I want it to taste interesting.
Simpson-y.
I want a
pretty
myriad,
sure it's already going to taste
myriad
very
of flavors. Oh, if you add a ghost pepper to that thing, it is gonna be spicy.
It'll be painful.
It'll be fine. Just have some milk on hand. There'll be milk in it. It'll be fine. Not milk, but almond milk. There'll be milk in it, honestly, actually, which is some sort of... It's not actual milk. It's like a juice, but we call it almond milk. It's not milk, guys. Okay? Almonds don't have nipples. You don't milk an almond.
Sure they do.
It's juice. I know it doesn't sound good. Almond juice sounds gross, but...
it's fine.
Regardless, Rob also provided us with a theme, which is grandpa-isms. Things from his ramblings, from his stories.
None of us are going to get anything right. It's going
to
be great.
I don't know. It's such a, there's relatively small amount of stuff to mine from this. So maybe we have the same questions, Matt. It's certainly possible. Start me off. Give me an easy question, Matt.
All right. Your easy question. In Grandpa's day, for what holiday did they have Walking Bird?
For what holiday?
Yes.
Thanksgiving?
That is correct.
Yeah.
Walking Bird
is
a turkey, apparently.
Yeah, exactly. Walking Bird is a turkey. Matt, the easy questions were the hardest ones for me in this one because...
Yeah, it's hard to find something in one of Grandpa's ramblings that would be considered that a lot of people might know.
This is, I think, the one I went with. Why did Grandpa tie an onion on his belt?
Because it was the style at the time.
Correct. That's correct. It was the style.
Indeed it was.
Okay, Matt, give me a medium question. We'll see how this goes.
All right. This might be a little tougher, but this is the best I could do for a medium. When Grandpa had the first radio in Springfield, who would be on it most of the time, and what would they be talking about?
I believe it was... they were reading the alphabet. I know that.
Mm-hmm.
A, and then B. C would usually follow.
usually follow.
Oh, who it is... I have a real... I'm going to go with my gut. Thomas Edison.
You are correct, sir.
Okay, good. I was
Robbie. I am very proud of you.
I wasn't sure about the who. I'm like, it could be one of. It's like some famous inventor guy, but which? Okay.
Like radio, is it Guglielmo Marconi? Because that would make sense. I don't know why it would be Edison, but whatever.
Yeah, I know. It's Grandpa. It doesn't need to make sense. Okay. Yeah. Yes. The same caveat goes with this question, Matt. Three wars back, sauerkraut was called what?
I believe it was Liberty Cabbage.
That is correct. That is correct. Okay, give me the
I think
mark.
We found the same list of Grandpa.
Yeah, I don't know. There's only so many. And they don't use them nearly as much in the later seasons.
Funniest things.
It's just, I know, they do get, I think we noted that in Lisa versus Malibu Stacy. If you do a lot of them, they do get old. You have to pepper
them. At least
them.
One per season you gotta have.
Yeah, just do it once in a while. Okay, give me a hard question.
All right, this is tough, but if you found the same list I did, you'll get it, no problem. In Treehouse of Horror 13, who beats Superman in a race around the world and by how much?
Oh, by how much? Oh, Jesus. It was Roosevelt, right? Right?
Which Roosevelt?
Oh, I want to say Tom. Does it Tom? Oh, I'm not sure. It could be either. FDR doesn't really make sense, but that doesn't make necessarily mean it's not Grandpa's answer. Theodore. Is it Theodore? Or are you going to wait for my full answer?
And by, I'm going to wait for your full answer. By how much?
Some amount of furlongs. Like 3 furlongs?
Is that your final answer?
Yes.
I cannot believe how close you got. I'm sorry. It is FDR by a single furlong. Oh. The truth lies somewhere in the middle, apparently. But damn, that was close.
I don't know. I knew it was a Roosevelt. I don't remember. And I remember Roosevelt's and furlongs. Okay, Matt. This is the most oblique, like, obscure thing. According to Grandpa, in Natural Born Kissers, which is, you know, a solid episode, what are bananas called?
Oh, man. Yellow flappy beans?
Is that your final answer?
Yes.
Wrong.
Oh!
It's yellow fatty beans.
Fatty! Oh, man, that is so close. All right, fair enough.
Fatty. Yellow
I
fatty.
Never could understand what he was saying.
Yellow fatty beans, of course. like that. That's a good. I like that. That's good. It's dumb and makes no sense, but sure.
Yeah.
Okay. It gives us 3 points apiece. Matt is still ahead by 3 points, but we still have 6 episodes to go. Mm-hmm. That's 16 times 6 each. I can't do that math out. 6 to 36 to 6. 96 points available still to us, right?
So we're cranking through them.
If we get them all, but we never get them all. Almost.
Yeah. The hard questions very rarely are gotten.
We've gotten full points 3 times combined this season.
So,
yeah. Probably not going to happen, but you never know. I have some questions from Rob, as I mentioned earlier, Matt. Let's go through them and see. Okay. In Lost Arlisa, Bart glues several gag items to his face. Name them.
There is the faucet on the forehead, the fake teeth, and I believe a false nose, a mustache.
You're missing one thing. Actually, it's not a false nose, but you're getting the rough items correct, but you're out here. Goofy teeth.
Oh yes, and bolts on the neck.
Goofy teeth, toucan beak on his nose.
Toucan beak.
A neck bolts, you're right, and a water faucet on his forehead.
Has to be fear sweat.
How? You're jumping ahead of me. How does Dr. Hibbert remove them from Bart?
Fear sweat. That's the button applicator.
It's not fear. It's not
terror
fear.
Sweat.
Terror mind. Sweat is the. There you go. It's terror sweat. In Bart the Genius, the Simpsons are playing Scrabble. Homer complains about his letters. They actually spell a word. What word is it?
Drawing a blank here.
Oxidize.
Oh, of course.
In Deep Space Homer, James Taylor sings 2 songs. What are they? He says you have to sing them.
Oh, God. Sweet dreams and flying machines floating safely through the air.
That is what he sings. What is the name of that song, Matt? Do you know that?
No idea.
Fire and Rain. It's a beautiful song.
Oh, of course. I have no idea what the second one is.
It's You've Got a Friend. Fire and Rain is actually about, I believe, his wife dying in a plane crash.
Yeah, because it's pieces lying on the ground.
Yeah.
And he backs up and says floating safely through the air.
And I believe also about his mental health problems he's had throughout his life.
Yeah.
He was in an he was went to an insane asylum for a period of time.
Really?
Did
not know that.
Yeah, James Taylor. That unkempt youngster. Finally, yep. Matt.
The human.
Last question from Rob. According to Summer 4 for 2, what is Springfield known as?
America's crud bucket.
I believe it's crap basket is his answer here. I think is don't they go? No, it's not crud bucket. It's crap basket.
No, it's little squagmata porms. Little quagmata squarmset port is America's scrod basket.
Okay.
Springfield is America's crud bucket, at least according to Newsweek. Now that could have changed depending on the market, but the copy I have says crud bucket.
Okay. Well, he's 2 letters off. I'm frankly. Amazed you were able to pronounce little squagmas, whatever.
Quagmata squirm set port? Yeah. I got a lot of practice with that one.
Well, when we get to that episode, we can practice some more. But that will do it for this week's No Google Trivia Challenge. If you guys want to submit us some questions or a theme for us to use, feel free. Reach out to us at any of those places I mentioned earlier. It is time for our final segment. Matt. Dear Lord, final segment, Matt. It is time for best episode ever.
Best episode ever.
Best Episode Ever is part show where Matt and I will rank the episodes categorically as we watch them chronologically, eventually compiling a list of every episode ever and how good they are. Matt, frankly, I'm this is a top 10 for me.
I think so as well. I think this gets what The Simpsons do pretty well. It lacks a funny guest star and some of the more potent allusions to literature and film. But it's a great Homer episode. It's got a good focus on one of Springfield's other residents. I definitely agree. This is top 10. How far into the top 10?
I don't know. Well, it has Terminator 2. It has the Ten Commandments. It has lots of movie references.
Oh, yeah, Edward G. Robinson. That's true. It's true.
Yeah. Has the Charles, the creepy, scary murderer, Charles Whitman guy in there. That's a reference.
Man, you're right. That's three.
Yeah, see? And I don't know. There's some food science stuff in there, which don't think that's necessarily intentional allusions to stuff that's happening today. But I think that does speak to the Simpsons' timeless nature. I would put this, I think Rosebud is an immediate comparison.
I think so as well.
I think Rosebud, Sleepy Matt, that's your bedtime?
It is way past my bedtime. It is 7:40.
Yeah, 7:40 p.m. for hours, guys. Now. Just let you know, Matt is sleepy at 7:40 at night. Rosebud is about, it's Mr. Burns' backstory. It's similar, it has a similar tact. I think, frankly, it's better than Rosebud. I would not have said that prior to watching this again, but I think it's better than Rosebud. Frankly, I think it's better than Last Exit to Springfield.
Well, I can agree that it's better than Rosebud. Rosebud is good, but it's kind of uneven. I really enjoy the meta-ness at the end of Rosebud, where everyone's like, "Oh, it's just an ending, leave it at that." And this episode has the parallel in the end of Homer's wacky Uncle Boris or something like that, mm-hmm. that are very directly comparable. But Last Exit to Springfield is a damn classic.
But I can
definitely say it's better than Rosebud.
I'm just saying that. I think this deserves to be a classic. I think this is an episode that does not get its fair shake. And I
absolutely agree. That's why we're putting in the top 10. I mean, do you see what we just jumped over? Mr. Plow is number 8. I mean,
Mr.
we're putting
great.
It ahead of Mr. Plow.
We're in top 10 territory, Matt. All these episodes are great. Frankly, we're at the point where the top 25 episodes are great. It's not...
That's true. I'm just saying, you were saying it doesn't get its fair shake. I mean,
it doesn't get its fair shake.
It's keeping down.
I understand, but you used specifically Last Exit to Springfield as a classic as a defense. Okay. And Last Exit to Springfield is a great episode. I think, and it is a classic. I think this should also be a classic, and I think it's better than Last Exit to Springfield. I think that this Last Exit to Springfield tells a great story and it's hilarious. I think this is. And this is going to be a discussion we're going to have. I didn't expect it to come up this early in the show. Because in season 7 and 8, and particularly we mentioned Homer's Enemy multiple times. And I think there's multiple episodes in those seasons where it gets very metatextual and explores the very nature of the fiction that we're watching. Which is why I love them. But how do we measure that against just, more traditional, here is a story that doesn't necessarily... have any kind of ties to the true, the nature of the show. Like, it's not about, this episode, which I did not, rewatching it makes me, and we've discussed it already, about how this is, about the Simpsons, in real life. Like, it's about how we're watching a show and loving a show that is about Homer as the main, basically as a main character, and the Simpsons,
as his supporting cast.
Yeah, and the family members as well. But Homer, specifically, is not a good person. He is the perfect embodiment of a television everyman, of a protagonist that has been built up through decades of sitcoms. And he is, I mentioned this on our Patreon, some of the bonus articles I've written, he is that, the natural evolution progression. And now he is the paradigm. He is what everyone is compared to. The Simpsons have earned that. But in episodes like this and in Homer's Enemy, he, with no ill intentions, with trying to be someone's best friend, he drives Flanders to rage for the first time we've ever seen.
That's true. I feel like what we're getting at here is this episode has a lot of a lot of ability to be critiqued, essentially. You can break it down and see how it plays with the ideas of characters, especially in sitcoms. Whereas I feel like Last Exit to Springfield is more along the lines of a traditional story. There's not a whole lot of deep analysis to be done about the characters in that, but it's a great story from beginning to end. You've got lots of allusions. You've got Three Stooges and Jimmy Hoffa and all kinds of
Batman.
Basically, them reaching out, Batman. You've got Mr. Burns as kind of like how he is in Rosebud. You've got him being the evil villain. And I feel like that story is every single second of Last Exit to Springfield is important to the story, and there's not one little thing extra in it. Whereas I feel like this episode is close to that.
I don't know. Some of that Lisa singing gets repetitive. She sings that protest song, and it repeats itself, for an extra, not very much time. It's a great song. And
true, but
Lisa,
I feel like most of that is background,
least...
Mr. Burns doing his Grinch thing.
I guess that's true. I mean, they are showing stuff. You're right.
I mean, the big book of British smiles, Robbie. I mean, come on.
I know.
The yellow submarine in the sky.
You don't have to sell me on Last Exit to Springfield. I understand. It is great. Okay, I'll try and be objective. This list is inherently subjective, as all rankings are. Mm-hmm. But I will try and maintain some sense of objectivity and understand that. And maybe most people don't necessarily care about the deeper, out of story context of the story. I inherently find that more fascinating, because that, there's very few shows that get to do this. I think, honestly, comic books are one of the few things that do get to do this, simply because characters have existed for so long. Generally, shows don't last long enough for them to, start analyzing themselves. I mean, that's now true. There's shows that start doing it from the very beginning. The Simpsons is so interesting to me because it has gone through so many phases and changed so much that it can do that and make it mean something, because Homer has... And the fact that each episode can be so different, and that it doesn't need to be like that every episode, and that you can have I think I agree with you that it should be below Last Exit to Springfield, because I don't think that stuff works without the context of the more traditional episodes.
That is absolutely true. And I feel like that's one of the things that happens more and more as time goes. I feel like there are, as we've talked about, waves of how The Simpsons go. You have the classic period, which gets through, the first four seasons. And then you have seasons 5 through 8, or really 5 through 10, are very reflective on that. When they look back, and a lot of the episodes, starting in season 5, you see them, starting to comment a little bit on their own success and some of the trappings they feel. And then things go downhill for a little while. And then when you get to seasons 18, 19, 20, around when the movie came out, you see kind of a renaissance, a revival of form. So I think we're just starting to enter that period where we'll have a lot more episodes like this, where you see the writers and the actors essentially commenting on, their fame and how the show fits into, the background of television, essentially.
Yeah, and a lot of people, I feel like I never even thought about it for the most part that way. A lot of people just say the classic era, and it means the first 10 seasons. Mm-hmm. But as I've been reading those news groups, and as we've been, thoroughly pouring through these episodes as we've gone, you can clearly see that, in particular this episode, I mean, this season, we see Bart gets famous, things that are very pointedly poking at kind of things about fame and about The Simpsons and about television and all that stuff. And as I think it's very true. And I think that I was kind of surprised by this episode. It's the most I've been surprised, I think, by an episode. I was expecting this to be a perfectly solid episode. My memory of Homer Loves Flanders, it's a good, good, solid Homer and Flanders episode, with great Flanders stuff and the Terminator 2 stuff. Mm-hmm. That's frankly what I remembered from the last time I watched it. And it's a great one that I really, really, really like. I love those types of episodes, and I think it's important that to keep in mind that yes, they're really interesting, and particularly interesting to me. And I know some people also, it's a particularly kind of nerve that likes those types of episodes, especially Homer's Enemy, which is very polarizing. But they don't work without the context of this straight up, here's a story. You know, and have, yes, we're going to use sort of tropes from sitcoms in the story. We're going to, and but it does them very well and with great character and great stuff like that, which Last Exit to Springfield is, has in spades.
Yep.
But Homer Loves Flanders, number 7 on our list. Way higher than I expected. But frankly, if you guys have not watched this in a while, go back and look at it. Go watch it
and
again.
Really pay attention to it and catch a lot of the great details. Like the thing with Homer's trash being beneath him, that is literally 3 seconds of on-screen time. And it is a great joke because they take it away with a bulldozer.
Yeah.
I mean.
And the name of the homeless shelter is Helter Shelter. And then, but the name of the guy who founded it is named Helter. So that's why they call it that. Oh, it's so good. And you know, it's great. So number 7, Homer Loves Flanders. Number 1 on the list, Cape Fear. Last, but not, well, and least at this point, is Homer's Odyssey, number 96. But not, it won't be there forever, I promise.
That's right. Sometime 2019, 2020, we will find a worse episode.
I haven't really worked out the timeline, so I don't know if that's actually accurate, but it's going to be a while. But there are episodes of mine that I would definitely put below it. Matt, what is our next episode? Do you have that right up there handy?
I sure do. Let's see. Next. Oh, man. All right. I'm going to have to go calm down my wife as soon as she finds out, but it is Bart Gets an Elephant.
Where is my elephant? Where's my elephant?
They're playing the elephant song.
Oh, where's my elephant? Bart Gets an Elephant. Classic episode. It's weird as hell when you think about it, and which kind of gets back to the point you're just making. Bart Gets an Elephant. But you can find this list at our website. It's thesimpsonsshow.com. Everything there, new episodes, downloadable streaming, links to all of our social media, to our Facebook, to our Twitter, to our RSS feed, links to our Patreon. If you'd like to support us, we'd obviously really appreciate it. We are ad-free because of that fact. I think that'll do it. Before we go, you can find me on Twitter at MixMasterCereal. That's MixMasterCereal. You can also check out my comic book podcast at Handsome Boys Comics Hour. That is HandsomeBoysComicsHour.com. It's on iTunes and everywhere that good podcasts are given away for nothing. Matt does not participate in social media. You will not find him unless you're a certain level of Patreon backer.
That's true, but if you can't afford it, you can always swing by Universal Orlando, where as of tomorrow, I'll have a season pass. So if you see a guy with like 6 of the donuts in the Simpsons area and a Columbia shirt and a weird hat, it's probably me.
He'll look like a dad. Say hi. A very tall dad with donuts. But by the time you hear this...
If you see a guy who looks like that but doesn't have any kids, it's probably me.
By the time you hear this, he'll be already have left. It's a trick.
But I'll do that like every weekend since I have a pass now.
Oh, they have season passes. Matt's rich, that's why.
No. Definitely not. I'll be poor because of the donuts.
I think we can wrap it up with that. I'm Robbie.
And I'm Matt.
And keep watching the episodes.
Shh.